All right, so good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's session. Today we're going to talk about how to read an advanced message trace, and we're going to give some examples or real life scenarios as well. A little bit about myself. I'm a support escalation engineer from the Exchange Online Broad Commercial team. I've been with Microsoft for about 3 years now. I was previously in the India pod, but now I'm in the I'm with you guys in the CVG pod. All right. So during the presentation, you can stop me anytime and ask a question. I haven't prepared that many slides, so. So let's start first with a summary of what we're going to talk today. I'm going to talk about how to collect an advanced message trace, why do we collect it, and how to read it. Okay. So I guess if there are going to be questions, you can also type them in the chat, and I'll try to answer them, or the other guys, maybe Ovidio can help me answer them if possible. Okay, so right. So the main or the first thing I wanted to show you, I don't think this is a new thing, and that is how to collect an advanced message trace. There are two ways: the PowerShell way, using the start dash historical search commandlet. You have an example here based on the exact message ID of an item. The thing I wanted to highlight here is the report type, which is message trace detail. Yeah, this is an important thing, because if you let's say put just message trace instead of message trace detail, you're gonna get a simple message trace without all the details, right? And I've also put a link to an article here, which simply shows all the parameters of this. Of this commandlet. Important things, basically the other types of reports. Yeah, message trace detail, and so on. And the other way of getting the report would be to do it via the portal. I didn't put any screenshots here, but you just go to message trace, and the import, you choose a custom interval of time, so you're gonna get the additional checkbox where you actually need to check it in order to get the additional details. So I don't think this is a new thing for you guys, right? So moving on, that was how to collect it. Now how to read it. Now, once the historical search is generated, you're gonna get a CSV file, which you're gonna analyze. Okay, so the first thing that you do once you get it, or the first thing I do, and I would also recommend it, is you're gonna get a file like this. You'll sort it by date. Yeah, so you click on this, and then you filter, you auto-filter it. Yeah, so in case you got multiple message IDs, it's nice to have the auto-filter, and you could choose to show you only certain messages. Okay, so now we know that the file, okay, or the report is sorted by date. And we know that the newer events are on top and the older events are at the bottom. Okay. So the next thing I do, we go to the event ID column and look at these events. Basically, These are the first events I look at, because they will tell you if the email was delivered, if it was failed, or something like that, you know. So if it says, if you see the event delivered here, then you know 100% sure that the email was actually delivered. Okay, if you see failed, then yes, the email was failed. There is no doubt about that. Now, there are definitely a lot more types of events, and we have them all described in this article here, which is this guy over here. Yeah, so you see there are a lot more event types here. Yeah, we see the deliver, we see the drop, the fail, and so on. And this article tells you what exactly do they mean, okay? And it will help you in understanding what happened with that particular message. Cool. So, any questions so far? Okay, cool. So if not, then maybe we're going to save it for later. Right, so these are the types of events. Yep, let's move this aside a bit. And another thing that we do, for instance, is if everything is what we expect it to be in the event ID, yeah, so nothing pops up, then we will move further by analyzing other columns in this file and looking for strange things or maybe strange error messages that we can pick up on, and we can continue our investigation. In this example, the strange error message is this. Yeah, rules, store driver rules message is deleted by mailbox rules. And I'm gonna get back to this later in the slides in the presentation. But basically, this is just an example of error that we can pick on and maybe continue our research on and see what happened with that particular message. Yeah. So that would be the next thing after we've analyzed the event IDs. Now, the CSV file, the extended message trace itself, contains a lot more information if we know how to read it. For instance, in the custom data field, we have I don't know, an attribute or how you can call it. It's called E2E latency. Yeah, and I have an example here. This means, so the value of this attribute is 2.8836. What this means is that this is the time it took for that particular message to go through, to go between one server to another. Okay, so that is the time it took to be handed over by one transport server, by one mailbox server to another, for instance. This information can also be seen in the header of an email. Yeah, if you visualize those sections, when you have a look at the header, you see that the email has been delayed between two servers. That information is also written in the extended message trace here in this particular attribute. So that is just one thing that we also have in the extended message trace. Right, so moving further with the custom data field, we have some more information that are useful. Yeah, so we have the anti-malware agent attributes. Yeah, so this AMA stands for anti-malware agent, and I've just taken a sample from the custom field data and just pasted it in here and highlighted a bit. This is something. Yeah, so this is the data from here. just paste it in here. Yeah. So we see that an anti-malware agent. Yeah. And we have the information about it. How do we read it? Okay. So what it contains? It contains information about what the anti-malware agent found or did not found inside the, and what actions it took inside the particular email. Okay, in this example we see V equals 1. This means that it actually found a virus inside the email. If it would have not found the virus, then it would have been V equals 0. Okay, and the action equals R. This means that the action that the anti-malware agent took, it was to replace the file with a TXT file, just saying you a couple of information about that file. So the action is replace. Okay, so moving further, we have the name of the engines that we scan with and their versions. Okay, maybe a particular version or signature did not found the virus, and the other found it. Then this is something that we could compare. Let's have a look. Is this version older or this version is newer, and so on. So these numbers mean that this is the version of the antivirus that scanned the particular email. Okay. So what I've highlighted here is the actual name of the virus that was sent through that email. Okay. Now, I don't know by heart, and most likely, I don't know if someone knows by heart all of these things, you know, and that is why we have this article here. I think I've also put it in the presentation. Yeah, okay, it's at the bottom here. So this article here, which will tell us all the or what exactly these events mean, how they can be translated, and all the agents are presented here. Yeah, the spam filter agent, the anti malware agent, and the transport rule agent. So now we're talking that we were talking about the anti malware agent action equals R. Yeah, so that was the example we had in the Word file. The message was replaced. Yeah, so this is what it would mean. V equals 1, malware has been found. Okay. For example, I don't know, maybe we will see action equals ST. That means the message was bypassed. And this is another example that they gave here. Yeah, so you can use this article here to understand more or to actually read it. Okay, now that's about the anti-malware agent section. Now the spam filter agent is what SFA stands for. We have it here. Yeah, here. Some of this information, if not all, we also have it in the header as well. Yeah, so SFV, we know what it stands for. SKA probably means that it was skipped because it was an internal email, I guess. Okay. SCL minus 1. Okay. This will also tell you that it bypassed spam filtering. What other information we have here? Well, I guess this was an internal email and it didn't pick up a lot of information stuff, a lot of interesting stuff, but you know where to look if you want to see more about it. Okay, so spam filter agent, of course, details about what they mean in the article. I've seen, and I guess you've also seen, situations where we see in VI equals SQ, message was quarantined, SJ, message was sent to junk folder, and so on. Of course, this information is also present in the header. Okay. Okay. The other agent that acts on an email, and the information is presented in the extended message trace, is the transport rule agent. This is what TRA stands for, transport rule agent. In this section, you can see what transport rules have affected or touched the email, and what actually those transport rules have done with the email itself. Okay, let's have a quick look in here. We are seeing now a lot of GUIDs here. These GUIDs do actually, or are actually the GUIDs of transport rule. So, for instance, if I'm going to take this and I'll do a get transport, most likely I'm going to get the transport rule. Yeah, there we go. So this actually stands for a transport rule. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that the transport rule has done something with the email itself. It's just that it passed through those rules. Doesn't mean that necessarily it has done something with it. And to definitely see that a transport rule has acted on a particular email, I would search inside this text block, let's say, for the word action equals. Yeah, so action equals. I guess we only have one result here for the anti-malware agent. If we do not have any action equals in the transport rule agent section, then that means no transport rule has touched and did something with the email itself. Okay, so again, information about it and what they mean, or all of these attributes, what they mean in the article. Okay, so action, what action it was done, and what's the GUID of the rule. Okay, this we have in here. We have a nice example of what kind of action can happen on a particular email. Yeah, so action equals apply HTML disclaimer. So this transport rule has applied a HTML, has applied a disclaimer on the message. Cool. So any questions so far? Okay, not at the moment. Can you guys hear me at least?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, loud and clear. Yes.
Okay, thanks. Just checking. All right. So that's about it about these agents that do act on emails. Now, in here, I just wanted to put an example on how you check extended message trace. Yeah, you and I've also shown you. You sort by date and then you auto filter. Cool. So moving further, I'm going to talk about some real life scenarios or examples, and this will help you understand why it's important to have the extended message trace and maybe not the simple message trace, because most of the time there is information that are not in a simple message trace, but they are in the extended message trace. Okay, so the first scenario I wanted to talk about is, let's say that we have a manager and the assistant of that manager, and that assistant is set as an Outlook delegate of that manager, and the assistant also receives copies of meeting invites sent to the manager. Now, the situation is like this. The manager does not receive any meeting invites Yeah, but those meeting invites are actually received by the assistant itself. Okay, how do you, let's say you, you troubleshoot this and you've definitely seen that no meeting invites are actually received by the manager, but they are actually received by the assistant. You do an extended message trace. You see that this does not happen for emails, only happens for meeting invites, and you see this this message in the or this error in the extended message trace. You take a look and you say that okay, the message was deleted by a mailbox rule. But you look in the inbox rules, and let's say the manager does not have any inbox rule that would do this. It is an some sort of an inbox rule that does this. Yeah, it's a hidden inbox rule, and it is created in the mailbox when you allow those meetings or copies to be forwarded to the assistant. Yeah, so when you add an Outlook delegate, you have the possibility to allow the delegate to receive copies of meeting invites that are destined for the manager. Now, by default, this operation, let's say, would not cause this scenario. But what about if the manager does this and chooses this option, chooses that those meeting invites are only sent to the delegate only. Yeah, so they are sent only to the delegate. In that situation, yes, we will be in this scenario where the meeting invites will be deleted from the manager's mailbox and they will only be delivered to the assistant. What we need to do in this situation, we need to go to the manager's profile, Outlook profile, either go to the original or the default setting, that is the manager's manager also receive a copy of the meeting invites, which is the first option there, or either remove the delegate altogether, or maybe we go to the original the first option there, and you go to permission and you remove the checkbox that creates that hidden rule. Yeah, so this is the reason why you will see this strange message here, and this is the only reason why you would see this particular message in an extended message trace, because of this delegate stuff here. Okay, so moving further with another example here. Right, so we have a scenario where a customer has some transport rules, and some of them are set to do not audit. One thing that you must know is that transport rules that are set to do not audit, they are not getting written in the simple message trace. So what this means is that, for instance, we have a transport rule that redirects all the emails destined for the CEO. They are redirected to a different user inside the organization, let's say, and the transport rule is set to do not audit. The simple message trace will just show you this stuff, that the message was redirected to that particular user by a transport rule, but it will not tell you what transport rule, because it has the do not audit action. The extended message trace of that same message will show you what transport rule has actually done this. It will tell you the name and the grid of that particular transport rule, and it will also tell you, you can see the event, it was a redirect event to the good mailbox. Right. So any question around about this? No. Okay. So the other scenario I wanted to talk about is okay. So you have an email that was sent to the CEO. Inside that email, it was BCC'd another recipient. Let's call it bad recipient. So that recipient was BCC'd. The simple extended, the simple message trace will of course tell you that the email was also delivered to bad mailbox, but it will not tell you why it was. Okay, it will show you that it was delivered. Also, when the CEO looks at the email in Outlook, let's say, or in OWA, it will see himself as the recipient, but it will not see bad as recipient because it will be in BCC and it will not exist anywhere. Then how do you know for sure how the email reached or sent was sent to the bad mailbox? You could guess that it was BCC, but from the simple message trace you will not know for sure. Doing an extended message trace will tell you 100% sure that yes, bad was BCC'd. Yeah, looking at this column, recipient status column, we can see the BCC action here for the bad mailbox. Okay. Okay. So another example I have prepared here is not really related that much with extended message trace, but I wanted to just talk about it because maybe you didn't know. So basically the expected behavior and the by design behavior is when a mailbox has enabled out of office and someone sends an email to that person, then the expected behavior is that there will be two responses, two different emails will get generated at the same time. Yeah, so two out of office replies will get generated at the same time, and this is if we look in below the, in the bottom section, that is a screenshot taken from a simple message trace. We can see at the same time there are two separate emails generated 1 second apart. Yeah, so this is what I am talking about. Yeah, so it's expected to have two different emails generated at the same time, two out of office responses. One will always be failed and one will probably be delivered, but one will always be failed. And why? Then if we dig deeper into this and we have a look at an extended message trace, then we will have the answer here. So the green stuff highlighted is the message that was delivered, and the yellow is the message that was failed or dropped. The green doesn't matter very much in this scenario, but we're going to focus on the yellow stuff. So we can see it was dropped, and it was dropped due to this reason. Yeah, block external out of office to internal user. So what happens is that, of course, two messages are generated, out of office replies are generated, one destined for internal users, one destined for external users. This is the expected behavior. When it detects that, so what happened in this scenario, let's say? So the recipient of the out of office reply was an internal user. The internal out of office reply was delivered, and the external out of office reply was dropped because the recipient was an internal user and the external out of office was dropped. How do we know this? Well, we know from this message, block external out of office. So the external out of office was blocked because it was destined to an internal user. Yeah. So that is what I wanted to share. And this is another thing that extended message trace shows us. Okay, so this is the last slide. I wanted to also show you a tool that we are using, and we are at the moment trying to see if we can share it with you guys. Of course, my recommendation is to always try to read the extended message trace using Excel.
Sorry, Andre, since we're still on the topic about the out of office, I asked you a question in the chat of the session. Could you please reply to it? Basically, my question is, because usually the customers are able to set internal and external out-of-office messages. This, what you were explaining, is valid only when the both fields are being filled in with the messages, or it doesn't really matter whether the customer has set an out-of-office message also for external user, or I mean, my question is, does it happen all the time?
I know what you mean. Yeah, so you have the possibility to not send out of office replies to external users, and if you do not check that box, then the second email should not be generated, let's say.
Therefore, we won't see drop.
No, we will not see dropped. We will not see drop. No problem. All right, so if there aren't any more questions, then I guess that would be it for today. Thank you very much for joining.